in me. From my first cry to final breath, Jesus met my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever cross me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here is the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever cross me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here is the power of Christ I'll stand.
Lord, I ask that you would be here with us tonight. You would guide us, guide our thoughts, guide our reasoning, Lord. We rely on our own reasoning, but your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are higher than our ways. Help us, Lord, to push the worldly reason aside, to be open to your spirit, that we would truly be children of God.
I never heard that first song before, but that was really great.
That was good.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi.
Glad you're here. First, we're going to take 1 minute, and I know Rebecca just prayed. Laura works at the Pregnancy Center in Palmetto, and I know Jen and I know Gary and Mary Kate are there with some other folks from church supporting. They're doing their fundraiser tonight at the Pregnancy Center. So we're just going to pray for them that they raise lots of funds, be able to help lots of girls, and so let's do that right now. Father, we just pray for just Laura, that you would just gift her with encouragement and strength. We pray for that pregnancy center, that it would be set apart for you, that it would be made holy, that you'd be able to help lots of girls through love and truth, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name that the fundraiser would be successful, that you would be in every area of that that fundraiser, Lord, and that it would all just be dedicated to you, Lord God. So whatever they make, whether it's little or whether it's much, that you would multiply it, Lord, and use it abundantly, Lord. Yes. We thank you, Lord, even for Gary and Mary Kate just representing the church, Lord. We just pray the gift that we're giving as a body to them to support that ministry, to support the girls, would be used in a way that glorifies you, Lord God. And we ask that you would even bless the gift that we're giving, Lord, as a body. Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I didn't realize my microphone wasn't on that whole time, but so we are going to be talking about a very controversial subject, and kind of what happens in churches today is one of two things. We're going to be talking about abortion. And so here's what happens many times in churches. Is talked about with a hammer. And so on the one side of the spectrum, folks will talk about it kind of with a hammer and not very sensitive to people and to women and to folks in our past who have maybe made choices in their life that they regret. And so a lot of men who have made those decisions will come just crushed. And on the other side of the same coin, it's not done in a very loving way. And the other side of the same coin, with the other side of the church, is not talked about at all, because we don't want to offend anybody. And so we don't want to talk about an important subject like this. And so here's the bottom line. We have to do everything with love and truth together. That's what God is, love, right? And Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. We must have both. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about, I'm going to share just a minute some of what God's word says about life. And we're going to watch a video in and it's called 180, and it's called Changing the Hearts of America on the issue of abortion. And it's going to be a little bit graphic in some parts, and it's going to be a rough topic. And so if you find that this is too difficult for you, there's some people are watching some of the kids in the other building. You are welcome to go out there at any time. So I don't want anybody to feel pressured. I want to make sure that you understand. At any time, you can go over there. Let's turn on the lights for just a minute before we get into this video. And Chris, if you would hand out, kind of funny to see you in the towel, in the blanket. But if you would grab some Bibles, and we're going to look up a couple of scripture verses. I want to make sure you read for yourself what God's Word says about this, and not just what Pastor Darren says about this, because ultimately it doesn't matter what Pastor Darren says. What matters is what God is saying. So, a couple things that you ought to know. We're kind of living in a culture, as we've talked about in Kings. You remember back in the book of Kings, if you've been studying Kings with us, where children were sacrificed. Remember to the god of Molech? Do you remember that? For those of you who were here, they heat up this false god, and basically they would, I showed you pictures of it, and they would sacrifice their children, right? And it would, their arms would be outstretched, it would roll into that fire and be burned alive. And basically, they would be doing that for prosperity. They would be giving up their children to the god of prosperity. And a lot of times today, parents or sometimes will give up their kids because they don't want to be bothered. And so, now God loves everybody, every one of us. And if there's anybody here who's made that kind of mistake, God loves you, He's with you, He's for you, there is forgiveness, there is redemption, there is renewal all in Him. But we also want to know what God's Word says about some of these things. Okay, so real quickly, let's first go to Jeremiah, okay? Big prophet, not big like heavy, but right after Isaiah, okay? Chapter 1, so it should be nice and easy peasy, lemon squeezy to find. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1, in the middle of your Bible. If somebody could read, Isabel, do you mind if I ask you to read? Jeremiah chapter 1, how about from verse 4 and 5? How about that? Okay.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Right here, in the womb, God is saying, you know, a lot of the country will just call it just a fetus or a thing or an it. God doesn't say that. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that amazing? And before you were even born, before you, your mom gave birth to you, it says that I set you apart. Isn't that amazing? That means God has a plan for you, Jonathan, and for you, Elijah. And for you, that's not your way, it's His way. Far better than you could have ever had for yourself. Go to Psalm, how about Psalm 139? Psalm 139. Okay, you guys get there real quick. Psalm 139. We'll say probably verses 13 and 16.
Psalm 139?
Yes, okay. 139, I'm sorry. Yes.
What verse?
Verse 13, are you there, St. Victor?
It's
okay.
Yes.
Can you read it? Well, aren't you a little
I was
God's Word reading hog? Yes, you may read. You may read that if you want. Yes, read verse, I think, 13 and 16. I'm not there because I was looking up another scripture. But so, you wouldn't mind reading it out loud?
For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and stealthily wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them.
Yes. Basically, what that's saying, before you were formed, I knit you together in your mother's womb. God is saying, I did that. You're not an accident, some cosmic thing that just a freak of nature, or it's just biology. God says, I formed you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. This is all the days were ordained for you before one of them came into being. Hello. That tells me that every single life is precious. So don't listen to anyone who tells you that you're not worth anything, that your life means nothing. And don't you ever dare look down on anyone else like their life means nothing, because they are precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's the devil more than people I don't feel that from other people, but I certainly feel the devil saying, you know, hey, you can't just hear, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
You're not this, you're not that, you're not that.
Well, I'm glad that you're not hearing it from people, but I can also tell you that there are many people I've talked, there are many folks that still today, older folks today, things that their mom and dad have said to them all these years later, things that their classmates have said to them that have ingrained in their mind of who they are, you know, what people have told them, their bosses, their coworkers, their friends, their boyfriends, their girlfriends, ripped them down to nothing. That's what they believe that who they are. You know, and again, I believe you're right. It's all influenced by the enemy. His whole goal is to tear you down. God's whole goal is to build you up in him. Galatians 1:5, I'll just read this one, or 1:15, you have to turn there, but it says, Galatians 1:15, but when God, who set me apart from birth, called me by grace, he was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles. Right here again, God who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace. I just love that. And just for time's sake, I'll read a couple. It says in Job 10:8-12. This is what the Lord says: He who made you, who formed you in the womb, Isaiah 44:2. Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form both within our mothers? Job 31:15. Because man is made in God's own image, Genesis 1:27 says that, each life is a great value to God. And Psalm 127, verse 3 says that children are a gift from the Lord. Now, if you're a parent here today, I realize that there are some day you're thinking, you know, kind of jokingly I say this, is there a return policy? Twitch, twitch, twitch. And I say that jokingly, but in reality, they are a gift from the Lord. There are some times where my son Hezekiah, right now. Exactly. Or my son Elijah, or my Isaiah, where I'm just so frustrated. But I can't even imagine life without them. And so they are a gift, a treasure, precious from the Lord. He even calls our children his own. In Ezekiel 16:20-21, he says, you took your sons and daughters whom you bore to me and sacrificed them. You slaughtered my children. It goes on to say, the Bible says of our Creator, in the hands of is the life of everything, of every living thing, and the breath of every human being. Job 12:1. God, the giver of life, commands us not to take the life of an innocent person. Jeremiah 7:6 says, do not shed the life of innocent blood. And Deuteronomy 27:25 says, cursed is the man who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. I was looking on the news sites today. I think it was ChristianPost.com or maybe The Blaze. Anyway, and they had a former manager of a big abortion clinic. She's now a believer. And they were talking about a certain organization, planned adulthood, I'll just say that. Yes, it is. And how they're saying not just how much they just care for the women. And basically, she just came on record and said, that's an absolute lie. Their goal is to push. They've got a certain number of birth control. They have to push a certain number of abortions that they have to have. They have quotas they have to make. And they're on that same video, and I've watched it, there's some of these planned adulthood leaders on videotape saying that what they try to do is they try when they abort some of these babies, they try specifically, if they're still living, they want to make sure that they save the hearts and the brains of these living children so that they can harvest them to sell them because you can get lots of money for them. So you can crush the rest of the heart. Yeah. But the heart, the brain, the liver, yeah, absolutely. They were caught on record saying this, having a whole conversation, and how much you can get for them. It's really sick. And you guys might not even know this, but do you realize there are 115,000 babies murdered every year?
That isn't real.
Minute.
Every day. Can you imagine that? Literally, 115,000 babies are aborted every 24 hours. So you come back to this time tomorrow, and in that time, we as a people, as humanity, has killed 115,000 babies. It is unfathomable to me, the Lord's grace and mercy, that He has not just struck us. People are like, you know, God is so merciful and so graceful to us. St. Victor, you're raising your hand.
That doesn't really surprise me, to be honest.
Wow. It surprises me. I'm blown away every 24 hours.
People always talk about the Holocaust, and I know it was very bad, but 115,000 babies a day,
yes,
is much more than the...
Even the Holocaust. Yeah. Yes.
There are only 5,000 people killed every year in this country with guns. all the debate about guns.
Wow, does that put it in? Wow, you know what? That's amazing.
Just to compare.
That is amazing statistic to compare it to.
Yeah, I saw.
But I was thinking about this worship of killing the babies that Manasseh led to Molech.
Yes.
There's a verse in 2 Chronicles. We always think of how there's this unpardonable sin to blaspheme the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about. In the Old Testament, God, when Manasseh repented, and God said He would forgive him of all his sins, but not the killing of the babies, not the killing of my children. And for that reason, Israel went out of existence for 2,500 years. Think of it. It was because of the killing of these children.
There's consequences too for sin. Yes.
Well, also to put it in perspective, I've seen some statistics on it before too. I mean, like you said, there's about 5,000 murders in the United States each year, you know, annually. And then if you look at major diseases, most of them range from about 100 to 200,000 deaths every year. But abortion in the United States alone has 500,000 deaths each year from babies.
That's amazing.
100 times more than, you know, any murders, and 2 or 3 times more than diseases.
But you never even hear that. You know, to be honest, even as a Christian, I'm not even thinking about that. I was like, I was blown away.
But does that number include those that are miscarried?
That's strictly for aborted.
Because coming from experience, miscarriage is totally different.
Yes.
The doctors don't consider it a miscarriage. It's a considered an abortion. And it documents as an abortion. So if you look at the numbers, some of those may be from miscarriages. And God knows that you're not going to have a child. That child was not meant
time. They record that as a miscarriage, as an abortion?
If it's done within a certain amount of time.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. But let's just say even if it's 10%. I don't know if that's... I'll double check that figure. But I don't know. To me, there's a miscarriage and abortion are completely different things.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, I'm sure from God's point, yes.
Yeah, my wife had 2 miscarriages, and the doctors described it as therapeutic abortion.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. That's the medical term for.
Well, my my cousin, they honestly begged her to abort her children. Said that they were going to be this and that and brain, you know. Now she just, in fact, they mocked her for having kids, and they're amazing, awesome kids right now. Thank God. And here the doctors, they're mocking her. So, you know, I think we just need to, again, if we ever get into a debate, if we ever talk about this, it has to be done with a heart attitude of love. What good is it, you know what I mean, if you're smacking somebody, you know what I mean, with everything we do, you can stand firm, you can speak the truth, but we do it in love. That's what Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. So for time's sake, we're going to start this video. If you wouldn't mind grabbing the lights, if JoJo, would you mind to go turn those lights off in the back there, buddy? Or if you want to leave those on, if it's, that's fine. If it's, that'd be great. And then we'll just take a few comments on it.
Are we ready, Pastor? Oh, hold on, guys.
Sanctioned the murder of 11 million people, including 6 million Jews, through what's commonly called the Holocaust. In Germany, statues of Hitler are forbidden, and his Nazi salute is illegal. And in Austria, if you even deny the Holocaust took place, they'll throw you in jail. Germany so wants to keep alive the memory of that horror, it has mandatory Holocaust education for its children. This is because it's been rightly said that those who forget history are destined to repeat it. Adolf Hitler, what do you know about him?
He was what's it called? He was kind of a president.
What do you know about Adolf Hitler?
I really don't know anything about it.
Have you heard of Adolf Hitler?
No. You
never heard of him?
No.
I vaguely remember him.
Who's Adolf Hitler?
He was the guy that's in... Was he German? I really don't know that much about him.
Who was Adolf Hitler?
This guy. The mustache.
Who was Adolf Hitler?
He was a communist riot leader of Germany.
Who was Adolf Hitler?
I don't know.
No idea at all?
No. He was a communist?
Is he like an actor or someone?
He's like something about Holocaust. So tell me what you know about Adolf Hitler.
I don't know anything about him.
You ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Who's the guy with the mustache?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You're about to meet Steve. As you'll see, Steve is a self-proclaimed neo-Nazi who loves Adolf Hitler, hates Jews, and people of dark skin.
White people are good. Jews. So, the white man is the best man.
What's the purpose of man's existence?
To get drunk and have a blue mohawk. So, what was Jesus Christ?
Savior.
No, he was a Jew. And what did Jews do?
Oh, they lie.
Christianity is a Jewish trick. But it hasn't tricked me because I'm Greek. I'm smarter than that.
Spell the word shop.
Shop? That's H-O-P.
What do you do when you come to a green light?
Stop.
Green light. Mistake with something as simple as that.
Yeah.
Just think if you're making a mistake with this whole philosophy.
You're making a mistake. I don't hate black people because they're black. I hate black people because they're pieces of because they ruin every neighborhood they come into, because they do bad things to my people because of the color of our skin in this country. I hate America. Well, I mean, it was written by a bunch of little weak Jews that were like, that couldn't stand up for themselves, so they had to make up a fake God to protect them because they're a weak race. Jesus was a Jew. And if you were in Auschwitz, I'd give him a tattoo. Adolf Hitler's not evil. So, what do you have to do to be evil? He killed 6 million Jews and blacks and gypsies and homosexuals. I don't believe that. I think that's a lie. I don't think he killed that many people. I love Hitler.
Why?
Because he wanted to cleanse the world of non-white races.
Adolf Hitler is the most famous criminal in the world.
Don't you think he was evil?
Evil? No. No.
Who was Adolf Hitler?
The leader of the Nazis. He ran the fascist movement in World War II, right?
Good guy, bad guy?
He was intelligent, but what he was doing was bad.
Have you heard of Adolf Hitler?
Yes. Yeah.
What did he do?
He killed a lot of people and tried to take over the world.
Good guy or bad guy?
Bad.
I can ask you this question. It's not a racist question. Are you German?
Created his own image of God and was what the Bible calls an idolater. He
he had another god before the god of the Bible. Like Judas Iscariot, he professed to be a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, but his motive was for his own evil agenda, and that agenda was very clear. He said, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future." Adolf Hitler deceived the youth of Germany. He deceived many within the traditional church, but most of all, he deceived the millions of Germans who believed his lie about the supremacy of the German race. History tells us that one man who was present when the Nazis killed 1,600 Jews on April the 6th, 1942, he witnessed them being shot and then being buried alive.
I saw them do the killing. At 5 p.m. they gave the command, fill in the pits. The screams and groans were coming from the pits. Suddenly I saw my neighbor Alderman rise from under the soil. His eyes were bloody and he was screaming, "Finish me off." A murdered woman lay at my feet. A boy of 5 years crawled out from under her body and began to scream desperately, "Mommy." That was all I saw since I fell unconscious.
It's 1943. A German officer has pointed a machine gun at you and told you to get the bulldozer and drive it forward. Look in front of you, there's a big pit. Hundreds of Jewish families have been shot, and they're in the pit. Many of them are dead, but some of them are still alive. He's telling you to bury them alive. You know that if you say no, he's just going to say, "Okay," and shoot you with his machine gun. Okay? And someone else is going to do it. He's going to do it. Would you do what he says?
I don't know. I think that's a powerful question.
But do what he says, he's going to let you live. Would you drive the bulldozer forward?
No. No.
Why not? They're going to die anyway.
Because I'd rather die not doing that, knowing that I was caused.
Would you drive the bulldozer?
Absolutely not. I think I would do it forward only because of the fear of my own life and fearing that I have no other choice.
Would you do what he says?
Absolutely. I would not.
What about you? Would you drive it forward?
No, I'd take the shot.
Would you do what he says?
Probably yes.
You just bury those Jews?
Yeah, if it was me or if it was my life, I would probably do that, yeah.
I'd do it. Can we say the soldier said to you, "Look, I don't want you to bury these people alive. I'm just going to give you my gun and you just finish them all off. Just shoot them." Would you do that?
No, that would be harder to do, yeah. That would be something.
It's almost more merciful to be shot than buried alive, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
So you wouldn't shoot them, but you'd bury them?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Because I would think that most of them would be dead. That would be the
yeah, but there's some still alive.
Yeah, I would probably try to put that out of my mind.
Would you do what he says?
Absolutely not. You may as well shoot me.
If he said, "Take my gun. We've got a dozen officers pointing their guns at you. I want you to shoot those Jews."
No, dude, no, no.
So you wouldn't shoot them?
No.
Would you bury them?
If the...
Well, then I would probably do it just to save myself and my family.
If he said to you, "I want you to take this machine gun and finish those Jews off," would you do that?
No, I wouldn't kill anybody. I can do it.
But you're burying them alive, which is worse than being shot with a bullet.
You're killing me, man. That's a tough decision.
Would you do what he wants?
Yeah.
You just drive it forward? You wouldn't hesitate?
No.
Would you drive it forward?
No. No, I would not.
Would you do what he wants?
No.
Why not?
Well, for one, that's not morally right to me.
What can one person do? Just that one person got out of the bulldozer. You know what I mean? Like, then their life is gone too. It's that everyone needed to rise up against him, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people, where was the world, you know, where was everybody, you know?
Maybe everybody is made up of individuals that would say, "I can never bury human beings alive. I'd rather die than do that." You value life?
Of course.
So you wouldn't take human life? You value human life?
Yeah.
How do you feel about abortion?
Depends. That's a tricky subject.
Sounds like you value human life.
I do value human life.
Alicia, how do you feel about abortion?
Uh, choose, and every situation is a different situation.
I'm for abortion.
You know, that's a tricky situation. I am pro-life, but, you know, until you're... It's really easy from the outside to say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but until you're actually in that situation, there's no saying what you will do. I mean, it's really...
You're pro-life. You believe it's a baby in the womb?
Absolutely, yes.
When does it become a life?
Well, it kind of does at the start, but it's not as much until after 3 months.
This is actual footage of a baby in the womb at just 6 weeks, 6 days of age. You can clearly see the baby's eyes, hands, and heartbeat.
There's a fetus there, not a baby.
You don't think it's a baby?
Not yet, not until 3 months.
Do you think it's a baby in the womb?
Yes.
Okay, finish the sentence for me, okay? It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when... Do you think it's a baby in the womb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, finish the sentence for me. It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when?
If it comes from something that shouldn't happen.
When does it become a life?
That's a tough one.
Here's a question. If you're in doubt, okay, I'm a construction worker and I see a building and I say to you, I'm just going to blow up that building in a minute. There's a possibility there's somebody in there, I just don't know, but I'm going to blow it up anyway. What would you say to me? I'm not sure if there's life in that building or not, but I'm going to blow it up anyway. Have you had an abortion?
Actually, yes, I have.
Do you feel guilty about it?
No.
What justifies the killing of a baby in a womb?
If you can't support it when it comes out. I think it's better to have a plan. I think it's, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you should definitely give it much, much more thought. It's not something you should, you know, just lightly say, oh, well, you just go do it, you know?
Can you say that's like saying, look, before you bury those Jews alive, just give some thought and then bury them alive? You see that?
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. I guess you could say it's kind of the same thing.
Here's you, Frank. You would give your life for Jews who are going to die anyway, and yet you won't speak up against the murder of children in the womb. I would like you to say, that is wrong. To kill a child in the womb, the safest place on earth is a mother's womb, and to actually go in there and destroy a human life, why? For selfish reasons.
Depending, I guess, right? I mean, we depend on the reason.
Well, tell me a reason for killing a baby in the womb.
Well, I mean, you know, if it's a rape or something like that, you know what I mean? Which is, I know, a tough decision, but that's mentally, you know, for...
Why is it tough? Why would you kill the baby for the crime of the father? Which is worse, murder or rape? You're murdering a child, taking another life because of the crime of the father. Who knows when life begins?
I wouldn't know.
Do you think God knows when life begins?
I think, yeah, probably.
And do you know what the sixth commandment is?
No.
It says you shall not kill. So you should say it's never right to kill a child in the womb. And Hitler declared Jews as non-humans, and that's what you're doing when you're saying it's not a baby until 3 months. That's what I think. It's very subjective. And if you're not sure, it's taking a terrible risk with somebody else's life. Imagine if someone said that about you when you were just on 3 months old. And they decided to kill you because of selfish reasons.
I wouldn't want other people to judge me, so I wouldn't want to do that to other people. So whatever their decision is, you know, it's between them and God.
It's their baby.
Whose baby?
The mother.
She's got the right to kill him.
If she feels she can't take care of it, or she,
That's criteria. I can't take care of this kind of field in my life, I'll kill it.
Yes.
Wow. You value human life?
Yeah.
Were you a Christian?
In a sense, I believe in God completely.
What's the sixth commandment?
I don't know.
You shall not kill. Why would you advocate the murder of a child in the womb if you know God says you shall not kill? You should be dogmatically against the killing of children in the womb. It's the safest place on earth, a woman's womb, so why would you say it's okay to kill children in the womb?
There's no way that you're going to change my opinion on this, because I believe it is a woman's choice. I personally would not do it, but I believe it should be a choice.
You know, there's all sorts of medical problems, there's all sorts of birth defects, whatever. So you know that their quality of life is going to be pretty much restrained into a 9x9 hospital room.
So you said...
Do you really think that it's fair to kind of live that? You mean, what type of quality of life is that?
The Nazis are in front of you. They're going to kill kids with death.
Down syndrome. They're going to kill them all. They did this. You think that's okay then?
No, absolutely not.
They have a bad quality of life.
Definitely not. And who's to say that they have a bad quality of life?
There's no possible way that that child will have a good life, so why raise that child to have a bad life?
How can you make that judgment when the child's not born? I can say that about any child. This child could have a bad life. I think I'll kill it. What about you? It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when?
When you're really messed up and you're about to beat that kid or something.
We're talking about a Holocaust in America, in our country, that's sanctioned by the government. You think it's okay to kill kids in the womb?
I don't think it's okay. I just don't think that.
Isn't that like what Nazi Germany was about? It's like saying, well, Hitler did this wrong. I think it's his choice. I don't think it's okay, but he did it, and it was his choice to do so, and he had the sanction of the German people because they allowed him in, so it's okay, but even though, you know, I don't agree with it. Can you say it's a similar thing?
I guess when you put it like that, it is very similar, yeah. It's very similar to say that. I guess me saying that it's okay for someone to choose is the same thing as saying it's okay for Hitler to choose.
You gonna change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
I'd like you to feel like you would in Germany when Jews are being killed around you. You'd be horrified, and we've got a Holocaust in America where real babies are being murdered because of a woman's choice, and it's legal. It's like Nazi Germany. He did it legally. He didn't do anything legally wrong.
But I think in some situations, it can be necessary.
You think it's a baby in the womb?
Yeah.
So finish the sentence off for me. Killing a baby in the womb is okay when... Rudy, I noticed you called it a child. So, finish the sentence for me. It's okay to kill a child in the womb when?
Well, maybe it's just okay if you adopt it out and just not keep it, because if somebody's not ready for it.
So you're saying that you're changing your mind about abortion right now?
Yes. Yes. It sounds bad when you put it in that kind of words.
Would you ever vote for someone who was for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
Well, that's great. So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah, it's not something I've thought about much, but I figured if I was ever in a situation like that, I'd just give it up for adoption if I couldn't take care of it myself, so... But I've never really thought of it like that, I guess.
Isn't that great to give it up for adoption instead of killing it?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful option, adoption. And just as you felt strongly about the life of Jews, and we need to rise up as one person to speak against it, don't you think we need to do that when it comes to the issue of abortion?
I think you have a valid point there. I've never paralleled those two.
Holocaust and abortion.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be allowed because it is a choice, but I feel like it... I personally will not do it. It's just...
I'm making you... So you wouldn't kill Jews, but it's...
I didn't do anything.
Let me try. Angrily.
Let me try.
Just
stop. I'm going to try to move it ahead. It's frozen. It's locked up.
It's the best part.
Okay, I'm trying to see where I'm at and go back. Let me see if I can get out. 2145.
Everybody's going to remember that number.
Yeah, and I remember that.
You know, since we paused on that, PD, that's a good example of what they're teaching in schools nowadays, too, because everyone should know about the Holocaust and who Adolf Hitler is. Everyone.
And if you don't know how Adolf Hitler was, like, he was a communist. I mean, I can understand that a little bit, like, but not knowing who he is at all.
Yeah.
Question. And why do some people have missing carriages now? What's wrong with them? Why do some people women have miscarriages?
It could be a multiple. There's so many different reasons.
Yeah, it could be the female body is not capable of carrying a child.
Mm-hmm.
It could be stress on the female body in that area, you know, in the womb.
But that's a different thing.
Right, but like, he's just asking what could cause them.
Yeah,
there's a multitude of things that could cause them. In my opinion, it's not
that person or the female's time to have a child. So God or Jesus, whichever way you want to look at it, is not allowing it to become what it needs to be, like you and I are sitting here.
Oh, I understand.
You know, I've had three miscarriages.
Sorry, if you're having
a
problem, maybe you eject it, put it back in.
I've been there.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm not one least bit sorry about it, because I have my little man Paul, and he's a miracle baby. And then I got my two big boys too, yeah. So
what I'm personally worried about is that now that people are forgetting about Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust and all stuff like that, our generation might go to World War III. Someone might do something like that again if nobody knows
about
it.
You know what's amazing to me is how easily people were influenced. A whole nation was influenced to devalue life, to make life not important. That that an entire race of people was exterminated because we chose to devalue life. And when you see the value that the Lord puts on life, and then how every life is precious to Him, regardless of background or color, whatever, when you see how precious that God says each one of us is, that's how we need to value life. Not even what our country says, or even what the law says. You know what I'm saying? We have to always stand. We want to be respectful. We love our country. We love our laws. But we have to say, what does God say about these things? Because people's minds can be shifted. And
can I ask a question?
Yes.
At the time of World War II and Adolf Hitler, where was religion? Where was the major religions? Where was Catholicism? Where was Lutheranism, Episcopalianism, Pentecostalism? Where did all the religions, why did the religions stand up and say something?
Does
anybody know the answer?
One of the reasons was is that after World War I, Germany was suffering a crisis after the war, and Adolf Hitler, and usually when there's a crisis, if someone's there to lead the way, mostly they would follow it. And Adolf Hitler did that by blaming that they were the ones who caused the crisis and convinced them, brainwashed them, that he was basically their God.
I think just, the set.
Ready?
Yep.
You wouldn't kill Jews, but it's okay for someone else to kill them.
Yes.
So what would you say to someone like you in Germany that says, you should never kill Jews, but I think people should have the right to do it?
I don't think...
That's what you say.
That is what I said. Okay.
So if you just change your mind about abortion?
Yes, I just changed my mind about abortion.
Are you going to vote differently in future?
What?
You do vote?
This is... Yeah.
You mean that?
Yeah.
So you changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah, when you put it that way, it does change your mind.
It's never okay to kill a baby in the womb.
Okay, so you're going to change your mind about abortion?
Yes, I am.
You're going to vote differently in the future?
Yes, vote against abortion.
It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when?
In my heart, I would say never.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yes, I have.
You think it's a baby in the womb?
Yes.
So, what justification is there for killing a baby in the womb? Can you think of one?
For killing a baby in the womb? I think everyone's situation is...
Give me a situation where you could say, yeah, that's justifiable. You can kill that baby because of...
I can't think of one.
Adolf Hitler hated the Ten Commandments and wanted to free people from them. He called the commandments the curse.
curse of Mount Sinai and said that the God of the Bible was a tyrant who tells us to do the things we don't want to do. Clearly Hitler didn't like the thought of you shall not kill because it didn't fit into his hate-filled worldview. Although he's an extreme example, it's common practice to have a low moral standard when we free ourselves from the Ten Commandments or when we're unaware of their true meaning. It's encouraging to realize that people are willing to change their minds about abortion. When people see things from a different perspective, they're able to think clearly and often make honest, intelligent choices. As I spoke with people about abortion, our conversation often led to the issue of morals, where morals came from, and ultimately, the issue of the afterlife. Hey, what happens after someone dies? Do you think there's a heaven?
Sure, we're going to go to heaven.
Yes, sir.
I think that that was something, like heaven and hell, it was kind of made up.
Are you afraid of dying?
No, I'm not afraid of death.
Where are you going when you die?
That's a Mormon hell.
Stephen, what do you think happens when someone dies? Do you think there's an afterlife?
I don't know, probably not.
Probably not? So this is all there is?
I think so, yeah.
Do you believe God exists?
I don't think so, no.
If there was a heaven, do you think you'd get there? Are you a good person?
Oh, yeah, for sure. God wouldn't be mad at me.
I'm a good person morally.
And a good person.
I hope so.
Yes, sir. I believe in God, I believe in good, and I don't do nobody no harm.
If there's a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there? Are you a good person?
Yeah, I think I'm a good person.
Why would you go to hell?
Because of my lifestyle I'm living.
There is no hell.
I don't believe that there is a judgment.
No?
No, I don't believe that.
But what's going to happen to Hitler on Judgment Day?
He's in hell.
How many lies have you told in your life?
I don't know, thousands, I guess.
Lies? Lies?
Too many to count.
Oh, countless.
What do you call someone who tells countless lies?
A liar?
You ever stolen something?
In my lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Yes.
Sure. What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
So what are you?
A liar, a thief.
Do you ever use God's name in vain?
Absolutely.
Sure have.
Absolutely.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
I heard you use his name just before, probably about 30 seconds ago, when you talked about lying. Do you realize that's called blasphemy? When you use God's name as a cuss word, it's very serious.
Sure, I guess it is, yeah.
And Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever done that, looked at a woman with lust?
Do you mean now?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I like fornicating, it's fun.
No, well, you can like raping and bank robbery, it can be fun, but it's not right. Have you ever looked at a guy with lust?
No, I'm gay.
I commit adultery about every 2 minutes, maybe.
Have you ever looked with lust?
Yes. Yes.
So, Alicia, by your own admission, you're a lying, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you've got to face God on Judgment Day. And we've looked at 4 of the 10 commandments.
Oh, my goodness!
And 6 are marriage.
Yep.
So, listen to this. This is this day, but this is why you don't want to believe in God. You're a self-admitted, lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer, fornicator. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. And the thought of being morally responsible to Him is abhorrent to you, so you deny His existence. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Makes total sense.
So, John, you're in big trouble on Judgment Day. By your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a daughter of heart, a fornicator.
Wow.
So, will you go to heaven or hell?
From the way it sounds, hell.
Does that concern you?
Absolutely.
No. You got it all wrong.
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Does that concern you?
Yeah.
So does it concern you that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell?
Not really, no. But I'll try to change me around and the way I'm going to love you.
You'd be guilty of breaking the commandments. So does it concern you that today, if you died today, you'd end up in hell?
Yes.
So you're starting to think about your life and how valuable it is?
Yes.
Does it concern you that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell?
I think God's a loving God, and I think he would see my heart.
You know, he does, and he sees a liar and a blasphemer and an adulterer of heart. But if you're repentant, there's something you can actually do because of God's kindness to have all your sins forgiven. Do you know what God did for sinners? Any idea?
He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to die on the cross for the sinners.
So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Does that concern you?
Yes, there's someone.
You know, God gave you a conscience so you know right from wrong. You know it's wrong to lie and steal and fornicate and blaspheme. It's written on your heart. Do you understand the legal implications of what he did? God's a judge, and his eyes are guilty because you violated his law, the Ten Commandments. You're heading for a place called hell, God's prison, without parole, but Jesus stepped in and paid your fine on that cross. That means God can legally dismiss your case because your fine was paid for by another.
Don't you think it's funny though that God would put a nice guy like Nate in hell?
But a criminal might say that to a judge, but the judge will do that which is right, even if it's a nice guy. If he's raped and murdered, he's going to get the books thrown at him. And you've violated God's law, even though you might be a nice guy. You're a self-admitted lying thief, blasphemer, adulterer, huh? God will give you justice, but he's not willing that any perish. He's given you something that says, I don't want to die. Listen to it, man. You've got a cross in the middle of your eyes. Think about what Jesus did on that cross. Think about how much God cares about sinners that he'd do that. In the Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he rose from the dead, and what you've got to do is repent, turn from your sins, trust in Jesus, God will give you everlasting life, he'll forgive your sins. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And the thing that will save you is God's goodness, the Savior, Jesus. He's like a parachute. Turning to a parachute when a Savior, but putting it on will. And the moment you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the minute you put your trust in him, release, God will forgive your sins, dismiss your case, and grant you the gift of everlasting life. God will forgive our sins, including abortion, and grant us the gift of everlasting life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You have a Bible at home?
Yes.
You want to think about this?
Yes.
So if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell. The two things you have to do to be saved, you've got to repent, not just confess your sins, but turn from them, and trust alone in Jesus Christ. When do you think you'll do that?
Well, probably as soon as possible. Wouldn't everybody?
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yeah, I got a Bible at home.
Lauren, would you please think about this?
Yeah, of course, sure, why not?
Shortly after the war had ended, the American military made those living near the concentration camps go through them. They wanted them to see firsthand what had caused the smoke to billow from the chimneys of those camps, and to witness what the leaders that they had allowed in their power had done. Notice their lighthearted demeanor as they entered the camp, obviously unaware as to the horror that had taken place in their own backyard. And look at the change on their faces once they realized what had actually taken place.
We got a minute left. That's
okay.
Come on, minute and a half.
Let's have a minute. Is it still? I don't think it's working. Single life precious. Everyone. You know, even that one guy that was being so offensive, you know what I mean? So racist, you know that God died for him too? That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Every life is precious to the Lord. And that starts in the womb. And that starts because it's God who forms it. That's a baby. Do you notice the total difference in attitudes when they're talking about a fetus? And then when they started talking about, or even it's okay to take human lives? Yeah, I would do that. Yeah. Okay, now we're talking about, now we start redefining the terms as a baby. It's okay to kill a baby in the womb. When? Well, I think it's okay. Okay, so what exactly? And you know what? They kept kind of backpedaling. They're like, you know what? When you put it that way,
it in different perspectives.
And a lot of times we just don't want to look at it in that way. But it is very, very important, critical, in fact, that we see every single life that God creates from the womb till death as precious. Who are we as people to judge any person whether male, female, black, white, red, Indian, American, Czechoslovakian, you know what I'm saying? Muslim, Hindu. Jesus died for every single one that ever would believe in him. Would have eternal life.
And this is the reason the Jews killed him. Because he was offering it to everybody. They thought he was coming just for them. So are we somewhat the same sometimes in the way we do?
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. We have to have the Lord's heart, but we have to remember from conception till death. Jesus says that every life is precious. Every one of your days was ordained before one came into being. That's an amazing thing to say. How much more should we honor the Lord with our life? You think? Alright, well, it's already like 15, 20 minutes over, so. Well, Tom, is there anything you would like to say?
I just noticed one thing he said, and I know it may be on semantics. God did not say, do not kill. He said, do not murder. And there's a difference.
Yes. And you know what? And I didn't notice that. Yes.
Yeah, there is a difference.
All right. Well, let's just take a minute right now. Father God, we just want to say thank you for your word that doesn't return void, Lord. And Lord, I even thank you for the perspective. It's a very unique and different perspective that he comes from, but hopefully God used that to open some folks' eyes on things, Lord God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us, Lord, to seek you and to find you and to seek you with all of our heart, Lord, that we would value every life as precious, Lord, that we would never be like that Pharisee looking down at the sinner saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, just thinking we're so much better than everybody else. A terrible, terrible, prideful, terrible place that is to be. Lord, I pray that we would take a stand, Lord, not in a jerky way, not in a mean way, but take a stand for what the Lord says is right when it comes to things like abortion, Lord God. And that we won't be moved to the right or to the left by popular opinion or what anybody has to say, just like all of Germany was moved in a certain direction to devalue life, Lord. I pray that we would stand firm what you have to say to us and how we should value life. We pray for your blessing upon each person here, that you would encourage them, that you would help us each to see the preciousness of life, and that you would do this in our life. We love you and we thank you that you've given us this gift, Lord God, of life. Lord, help us also to give out your free gift of eternal life, Lord, and to share you with other people. We love you and bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There, can I say something?